Our thanks to Sterling Deer and Arnold Boyer, who joined us earlier, and now the third candidate, an incumbent, the Mohawk Council of Gotnawagi, running outright for, I guess, the first time. Cody Dibo is in studio with us. Cody, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
I switched the microphones. Okay, there you go.
So, thanks for having me, Paul.
Okay, so why are you running again?
Well, I had a vision that I had presented back in the by-election in 2019, and that was to bring Gunawagi to a more sustainable place, whether that be, you know, farming, energy production, and, you know, I am proud to say that, you know, one of those is actually underway, and that's the aquaponics, and I've been on here numerous times talking about it. If all goes well, hopefully by next April, that is going to be under construction. But that's just one small part of that piece. You know, there's still other things, because with the aquaponics thing, there's fish, I don't say limited produce, but limited selection of produce. So we still need to diversify the food situation in Gunawagi. And it's how would I say, Gunawagi is facing many different challenges. So we have the political challenges as well, but the main thing we also have to think about as well is the global problems, which is climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Last week was just a testament. A couple of weeks before that, early May, that heat wave that we had, if nobody's paying attention to the news, California right now is in a severe drought. One of the lakes there that they get a lot of drinking water from is under, you know, 40% of what it's normally. I think that's around the numbers. So these are existential threats that we also need to be dealing with too. You know,
well,
so
the fire risk was just elevated today because of the dry conditions that we have.
So what's going to happen at a point, you know, when, you know, when that number is still there, that by 2050, you know, with the population soaring, the current resources on planet Earth aren't going to be able to sustain that population. So for me, as well as dealing with all the political threats that Gunawagi is facing at this moment between Quebec and Canada, many of them have been talked on here, is also that global threat, is that we need to secure where our food is coming from, and we need to be able to produce our own food like our ancestors used to do. And it's, you know, it's the only way a civilization or society can thrive, having food and water. Without that, you know, you're doomed.
What are some of your other ideas? So aquaponics is underway, and it's happened quite quickly. I mean, this was a nascent idea that when you got on, right? I mean, it wasn't even on the board.
Yeah,
right?
And that's something, you know, like the food talk has been through Gunawagi for many years before that. So for me, I was looking at how we can do it, you know, in the face of climate change as well, droughts, you know, being in Quebec as well, in the northern climates, you know, you have very limited growing. So for me, now we have
more and more now.
Yeah. So for me, you know, we need livestock. We also need to expand that. We also need to work with what's going on around us as well, because the goal of the aquaponics wasn't to compete with what's going on. It was to complement and work together. And that's the whole thing about unity, you know, that we need to start going for, you know. And I think there's a big cry out for that, you know, especially in recent weeks. You know, I've been hearing a lot of talks about, you know, we need to stop sort of dividing ourselves and come together, regardless where we stand or sit or what hat we have on. At the end of the day, we're all Gunyakahaga and Gunawagi, and we need to work together to face all of these existential threats.
Something that comes to mind is, as you mentioned that, as you mentioned the need to produce your own food, and you mentioned livestock, is where would you put these animals? Where is that land coming from?
Well, and that's, you know, another thing, and it's been talked about a lot as well, is, you know, you know, the scenery around us, that land is ours, and that's continuously being developed. You know, we need to ensure that we get to the table, that we force Canada to come talk to us, not Quebec. It's, you know, and that's a lot what's going on right now, is Canada's trying to say Quebec, Quebec, Quebec. We're not dealing with Quebec. This is a nation to nation. You don't see America dealing with Quebec. You see America dealing with Canada. So that's where we have to push. And that's, you know, we have to ensure that we're heard, you know. And I don't want to say a long time ago, but there was a time when, you know, Gunawagi stood up and Canada, you know, buckled. We need to, I don't want to say do that again, but we need to remind them who they're talking with and who they're dealing with.
Aquaponics, obviously one of your successes as an elected official in the 2 years that you've been on council now, since that by-election, 2+ years at this point, right?
Year and a half.
Oh, it's a year and a half. It feels like it's longer. Anyway, any regrets, any failures?
I wouldn't say failures at all. You know, things are a work in progress. Things take time. You know, probably if anything, it would be the ACM issue. You know, I wish maybe we would have been a little bit further along. But in that amount of time, you know, we've done a lot. We've learned a lot. The investigation is underway. There's been some remediation. There's the plan to have that global remediation, you know, and it's important to remember, you know, this all came up in 2019 before I was here. It was actually Frank McCumber, mm-hmm. Who, you know,
it was handed to him right away, and yeah, he was new on council. Yeah,
it was brought up, and he flagged it right away, and he was able to bring it, you know, to, you know, creation of the asbestos working group, getting policy, getting that kind of practice stopped. And then because of COVID, you know, another file that he was handed, that's where, you know, I approached him and asked him, do you mind if I take this on, you know, while we're dealing with COVID as well? And, you know, I think that just shows as well, you know, the collaboration that's needed at the table, and that it's not my file or your file. It's we're there together and how we can work together and help each other.
That's a pretty big step to take as the newest person on council, mm-hmm. to go into something that I guess you knew would be controversial. Were you afraid? Do you have any regrets of doing that?
No, because for me, it's to show Ganawagi that I'm here to do whatever needs to be done for my community. You know, I know there's been talks about, you know, of course, there's always staffing issues all over the place. So, you know, maybe people don't have technical support. Maybe there's not help in certain areas. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm there willing to roll up my sleeves and do what needs to be done to further issues, whether that means I have to draft packages myself to submit them. It's I'm going to do it because that's what's required of me. That's what my community is requiring.
In those 18 months on council, unfortunately, you know, since Joe's passing, it has council felt rudderless without him there? Or, I mean, how has it worked?
Well, it's definitely had its challenge, you know, because again, and you know, that those are some very big shoes that are going to have to be filled. Joe, you know, he's I don't think you can say MCK without thinking of Joseph Tejuido Norton. So it definitely was, you know, a huge hurdle to try to maneuver around. So it was, how do we work cohesively without that unity, or I wouldn't say unity, but that person at the top to bring us together? You know, it's kind of like you're not all sort of scattered to the wind, but it's all right, now we need to try to work cohesively without that the leader, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, and two new leaders to deal with, and I had brought this up, I know, yesterday, that, you know, with Alana leaving and Carly coming in as the new executive director, and you know, the first new grand chief, because there's only been two grand chiefs in Ganawagi in the last 35 years almost.
Yeah.
Right. With Tequiro and Mike DeLille, and Mike's, you know, running for council chief again. He's not thrown his hat in the ring there. So I'm wondering, you know, how difficult will that be to see that a double transition continue?
Well, you know what? I think over this last year, it's shown, you know, the I don't want to say, well, flexibility, you know, in my mind is, you know, I have to do what needs to be done. So I will work with whoever and however, you know, to advance Ganawagi to, again, with my vision of being sustainable, you know, food production, energy production. So where we don't need to, you know, Canada or Quebec say something, it's, you know, well, we're sovereign, you know, we don't, you know.
What are some of the other issues that you're running on that, you know, I mean, you're talking about sustainability, you're talking about the ACM issue,
yeah,
but what else is on your mind?
Well, and we had just talked about it briefly in there, is, you know, sort of the land issue as well. You know, for all these other things that I would like to get done, we're going to need land. So another issue is I'm looking at how I can contribute to the senior refile as well. I think, you know, it's time now. We have to try to address that situation. You know, I understand it's a long history, you know, but at the same time, we see it's all being developed around us, you know, so they don't have a right to do that. That's ours. So we need to How do you need to put a foot down and start.
How do you assert yourselves as the MCK and stop that development and say, no, this is our land?
Well, because then that's where the unity comes in, because it's not just the MCK, it's Kahnawake. So how are we all together, regardless where we're sitting, you know, what hat, you know, we have on, how are we going to move together? Because once we're together, you know, and that was symbolism through 90, through the recent train blockades, that when it's the people that are doing it, you know, that's when the government of Canada starts shaking in their boots, and Quebec. The only time we've probably had meaningful reach out from those two entities was during the train blockade. Up until then, we've never met with the premier. We never had contact with the premier of Quebec. During that time, you know, different ministers were reaching out from Canada. Since then, it's been crickets, you know, and we're just meeting with, and again, no offense to the people that we are meeting with on those levels, you know, pencil pushers. You know, they have supervisors who have supervisors who have supervisors. They have no real decision making.
In other words, a negotiation happens. You bring everything to the table. You guys are the top from Kahnawake, let's say, is the people are the final word. But
yeah.
Whereas there, it's, wait, I have to speak to my supervisor and we'll get back to you. And it takes months and months and months, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
What's been the biggest eye-opening thing for you since getting onto council?
I think it would be a lot of that, you know, the fact that you're not meeting on the so-called sort of nation to nation. You know, Canada doesn't see it that way. They like to throw out those fancy words of truth and reconciliation and nation to nation, but they don't really mean it. You know, it's just, to them, it's lip service, you know. And that's, for me, how are we going to ensure that it's not lip service anymore? And how, you know, how is the big question. I'm sure it's not going to be an easy task, because if it was easy, it would have been done already. But for me, it's, you know, to have a new mindset, to be in the seat I am now, from my generation now, you know, sort of taking the reins to usher in a new era for Kahnawake, to leave it for the next generation after me.
Okay. What else on your mind? We have about a minute or so left.
You know, I just, you know, want to thank Kahnawake for the first opportunity voting me in and the by-election. You know, I'm hoping that I've lived up to their expectations as well. And I hope those expectations carry me into my first actual full term. Because as we mentioned, you know, I can't take, say, full credit for the aquaponics thing, but that was one vision that was, you know, basically accomplished in a year and a half. So let me see what I can do in 3 years.
What other ideas do you have?
We've talked about it.
Livestock?
Livestock, energy production, solar, wind, geothermal.
So wind is happening.
Wind is happening there, but I mean more for...
When does that go online?
It should be next year.
Okay.
I believe 2022 it's supposed to be. But I'm talking more production for Kahnawake and for people in the community.
Okay. We'll catch you on Candidates Night.
Yes.
However that's going to work at this point, according to Angus, it might be all virtual at this point, but we're hoping that things may change by then.
I hope to. I think it's needed. You know, something of this magnitude should be done in person, and we have the means to do it.
Okay.
We know how to stay safe. So,
Nyawa, for coming in, Cody.
Okay, Nyawa, thanks for having me.
Much appreciated. Cody Dibo, who is running for his first full term on the Mohawk Council of Kahnawake, is an elected official, just completing, wrapping up a term when voted in 18 months ago through a by-election at the Mohawk Council. Our thanks as well to Arnold Boyer and Sterling Deer, who joined us earlier on Data Watara. Don't forget, join us tomorrow as we have three more candidates who are going to be on the show with us. If I can find it in time, I actually can. Bart Goodleaf, Jessica Lazar, and Lindsay LeBourne will be our guests on Data Watara tomorrow, presenting themselves to the community. News is next with Jeremy Zaffron, followed by the 1 o'clock jump, and Susie D on Kahnawake's K1037.